Good morning, Carborough and Chapel Hill. This is Wilf's Wake Up Call. Wilf being the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. I'm your host, Lori Hoyt, and Dick Paddock is our engineer. And our guest today is a Wilf sister and an NAACP sister, Miriam Thompson. And we're here today to talk about labor issues, I guess would be the main topic we're talking about. Justice is always part of what we talk about. And I'm remembering this time to remind you to please have your pen and pencil ready, because we always give you ways to get further information about these important topics. Good morning, Miriam.
Good morning.
Glad to have you here.
Thank you.
So, a lot's been going on, a lot is always going on, and unfortunately, it's not covered very well by the main media. There used to be labor reports, now all we hear is Wall Street reports, on and on and on. But we're here to fill in the blanks and talk about workers, of which many of us are, and what's going on and what can be done to make it better.
Let me start with telling people how important it is to change the shape of media. We don't do enough. They don't, major newspapers may not cover some of the real stories around workers and their lives and families and peace and justice issues, but we don't do our job either, which is to call our newspapers and write our newspapers and
That's
email
right.
our newspapers and Twitter and Facebook our newspapers
That's
and
right.
tell them we want these stories covered and give our ideas and comments on public policy.
Among a good reminder.
Among them, of course, is the issue of workers' rights.
Mm-hmm.
Wilf, as you know, NAA, I co-chair with Jerry Neville from the Black Public Workers Association, and UE 150, United Electric Workers 150, has been a long-time worker in our public sector in Chapel Hill. So he and I are co-chairing the newly founded Labor Committee, and if you want more information, you can check our website. Or you can reach me at mthompson015@ncrr.com, and I'll repeat that later.
So this is a newly formed labor committee.
This is a newly formed labor committee with the NAACP.
And you're also part of our labor committee for the Women's
International. Part of our labor committee at Wilf. And I think Lori should jump in and remind you how you can find out about joining Wilf.
Yes, I will.
And being part of our labor committee as well as others.
Okay, is this the time?
Sure.
We'll repeat this also. Wilf, the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, is celebrating its 75th birthday this year in this community. Nationally and internationally, we're much older than that. 90-something started in 1915. We are part of every justice group in this area and have always been at the forefront. So if you'd like to get more information, we would love to invite you. TriangleWilf.org, and don't forget that P in Wilf for Peace. And please think of doing that. And I didn't remember at the beginning, we are brought to you by WCOM-FM. It's a low-power station. And you can, if you're having trouble now with, because we are a low power station with your hearing it well, you can stream us live at WCOMFM.org. Okay, back to the topic at hand.
Well, that's a good opening, because Wilf has, I call us the instigators and agitators.
That's right.
And we have played a major role and been deeply involved in the issue of workers' rights. And I'll mention some of the most recent campaigns
yes.
that some of you have heard. If you've been following us, and if this is your first time, welcome, and keep your station tuned at 7:30 in the morning. And Lori will announce later that we're going to have a whole hour show sometime next month. But we've been very active in the Moncure struggle, which was a hardwood plant making furniture and treating their workers abysmally. They joined under family ownership 40 years ago.
Yes,
but when new
company.
Management, if you want to see how even locally corporate takeovers destroy mm-hmm. good labor relations and good worker practices and environmental justice, as well as decent wages and benefits, Moncur is a major story. So Wilf was right out front on the picket line. At the same time, we were also fighting for our public workers, with demanding their right, which they do not have now. North Carolina is only one of two states that denies its public workers the right to collectively bargain.
And I'm not sure how many people realize that. That is, you know, it's two southern states, Virginia and North Carolina, passed this very repressive law in the 50s, I think when they were getting a little nervous about the civil rights movement, and we've never been able to get it off the books. It's a repressive, old-time plantation kind of law.
It's a Jim Crow law.
Thank you. I was
struggling. And it's also part of that race history, because they were probably afraid, we think, we know that we're afraid of workers organizing and working across color lines. And so in 1958, they passed the law. So our public workers do not enjoy the right to collectively bargain, a seat at the table, to really put their viewpoints forward on how best to manage a workplace. I should say, however, that we've done major work in this community, in Chapel Hill Carrboro, that have been very supportive with the state legislature, which of course has resisted, but our local council members and mayors have championed the rights of their public workers and have argued for collective bargaining rights, and in fact have tried to open up conversations despite the state legislation, the state legislators' prescriptions.
And that's a point, Miriam, I don't want us to lose, because that's something I've only recently realized at some meetings in Chapel Hill, that locally their hands are tied in so many ways. The state has this very centralized control, and they have to get permission for many areas to make any changes. And of course, this being a progressive area, we're particularly aware of it, where the local leaders are way ahead of the state legislature. And that's just another issue that people might want to tuck away that needs to be worked on.
I want to give credit to the NAACP, which helped organize the Black Public Workers Association, which is now part of an interracial building, a UE building, trying to build a union inside the workplace. But they have been handling grievances for workers, and have been, the Black public workers really have been instrumental in getting our new mayor, Mayor Mark Kleinschmidt, I should give him credit, to really open up avenues of conversation and real action to improve the working conditions of our public workers. So we're still fighting on the collective bargaining front, but the issue today is so important for people to pay attention to. And we will have in subsequent weeks and broadcasts actions that you can take. But we want you to know about the situation affecting our housekeepers at UNC. And at some point we'll have historians, if we can reference the wonderful work of Dr. Yanni Chapman, John Chapman, who wrote about the history of race relations in this community, and specifically on the university. And unfortunately and tragically, the housekeepers remain the story, continue the story of race division and treatment in this community. And they do that because they're the lowest paid, have always been the lowest paid workers on the campus. And right now they have another complaint in a long history of complaints has been issued. Just listen to this story. Workers who are exposed to often toxic chemicals have not been given masks because the university claims it's too expensive. And they are working in this environment all the time, 8-hour days. And they have one little break to rest in the morning. They have lunch and one little break in the afternoon. They are working on their feet all day and have been written up and suspended without pay. Because they've just sat down every once in a while to catch their breath. And one of the women's stories had asthma, and her health was impaired. Now, here's a university, by the way, let's look at history. Here's a university, we don't have the article today, but you can stream it. No, you don't stream articles. What do you do, Dick? Look up on the website. But there has been a recent story that the university had to turn back millions of dollars to the federal government and close its animal research lab because the water was flowing in, the toxic water was flowing into the streams. how to return this money. This is the same university that's treating its workers like it treated the community, ignoring their requests that they fix the plant so the community wouldn't suffer water pollution.
Yes.
So now they're sort of polluting their workers.
That's a good point.
They are it's called the sit down complaint. No sitting policy was issued by the housekeepers. This is the most recent, but there is a long history of these kinds of abuses
for the housekeepers,
for and by the housekeepers, and it has yet to be resolved. So the complaint is that the policy is discriminatory. No other department on campus has implemented one like it. And just remember, most people on the campus, except for grounds, but they don't have this policy, and some others maybe in the mailroom, but most other departments, people are sitting in their chairs, right? So they're sitting.
And the people who are instituting this
are also sitting.
A Dragonian thing that you can't sit down when you're doing such hard physical work, are all sitting down.
That's right. Well, I'll get to this in a minute, because part of our work is going to be demanding the university look at how the housekeeping department is managed, who the managers are, and assistant managers.
Yes.
That are putting these policies, because that's the key.
Yes.
Because the university is complicit as well if they allow these management practices to continue. The policy is discriminatory, as I said. No other department on campus has implemented one like it. The policy poses serious safety hazards. It contradicts instructions that workers have received in safety training. They've been told that when they're working in unair-conditioned buildings, as we often are in the summer months, note that, unair-conditioned buildings, mm-hmm. in 90 to 100 degrees heat, if it becomes too hot while working, we should sit down, cool off, in order to avoid possible work-related health issues. So as far as I'm concerned, the university is risking OSHA violations. There are the Office of Safety and Health Administration and the laws. There are workplace safety hazards in air-conditioned spaces, too. Workers have a right to sit down to get a breather or to rest their backs and legs when they are on their feet for hours at a time. The policy denies due process. The policy was not announced before several employees were suspended. Workers did not receive a copy of the policy in writing, and by the way, have yet to receive a policy. And the policy doesn't allow employees any chance to address an alleged incident or change their behavior. For every other disciplinary action, employees are supposed to receive a counseling letter. They don't. They're just suspended arbitrarily without pay. And about 5 workers, to our knowledge, have been suspended without pay. It allows management, this is the key to me, permanently eliminate employees at will. According to university policies, if an employee has a conduct offense, and they're declaring these sit-downs a conduct offense, right, on their work record, being charged with any other incident within the following year may result in permanent dismissal. So I think what the ultimate aim is to get rid of the workers and to privatize, probably, the housekeeping department.
That would not be a big surprise, would it? And, you know, and this is part, ever since we've had this really sad economic turndown, the university, like other corporations, and it is becoming more and more corporate, is instilling fear in all the employees. There's layoffs, you're under so much stress and fear, because I've talked to employees in other departments. And of course, for the housekeepers, this gets distilled into the worst possible intimidation and repression. You know, I think it's so good, Miriam, that you're bringing us this information, and that we can then be getting ready to think about some things we can do. Besides getting upset about it, we've got to think about what we can do positive and constructive. But before we get to that, I have to take a station break. Dick has just reminded me that to let you know, we are so fortunate to be underwritten by Internationalist bookstore at 405 West Franklin Street. This is not just a bookstore, it's a community resource center. Anything you want to know about what's going on in the progressive community, stop by the bookstore. It's very accessible on West Franklin Street, and you want to find out more about it and you don't have a chance to go downtown, look up internationalistbooks.org. And again, you can stream us live at WCOMFM.org. And here we are. This is Wilps Wake Up Call. And this morning we're talking to one of our sisters, Miriam Thompson.
Let's remember the Wilf website.
Oh, thank
TriangleWILPF.org.
Thank you, Dick. That's really important, because try to find out more about us, and we invite you to join us. We are celebrating our 75th birthday. We'll be announcing that every week. And now, again, back to Miriam Thompson, who's talking to us about, what's going on for workers. Workers in this country overall are under absolute attack. It's almost a war on workers. And this is being exemplified and amplified with the situation with the UNC housekeepers.
Again, which is part of the UNC's history. This is not a recent event. The situation with houseworkers and the treatment with houseworkers and the racism that is implicit in the treatment of houseworkers has been longstanding. I do want to say, important to get on that Triangle Wilf website, because we're going to have information about the housekeepers. We're going to keep you updated.
Great.
We'll have the story about their complaint. They have gone to Human Resources yesterday, and they've met with the Vice Chancellor for Facilities to bring this complaint to them. So we will have news about that within the next few days, and we can post it. We will also post actions, because even if they resolve the sit-down policy, let me give you what else they're doing, the whole structure of how it has to be dismantled. That means management has to be investigated, not the workers, but management. What kind of policies are they instituting that makes the workplace decent and respectful of the workers? In addition to the sit-down policy, no sooner had they issued that policy, then they have issued a forced or mandatory overtime, which means this coming week, because
Miriam,
the workers...
Miriam, doesn't this remind you of Moncure?
Oh, yeah. It's all over. The federal law, talking about what workers' rights in this country, the federal law, and I want to bring in our wonderful Lucy Lewis, who is a sister and has done research. We'll continue the discussion. But what she found and others confirmed, and we talked to labor lawyers, is the federal law allows employers to force overtime as long as they pay time and a half. And of course, in the Moncure case, they tried not to pay time and a half. They tried to give them comp time, which didn't help. But here, the most important thing is that with or without time and a half, they're working 12-hour days, Monday through Friday next week, plus Saturday and Sunday, a seven-day week. Now, the workers, we're going to have another broadcast on this, because two of the workers are going to come and are ready to come and talk to us. But they're going to try to challenge, of course, the policy, because no one can work, especially in this
Why
kind of environment.
Why in the world is the university doing this to
punish
them?
I don't think so. I think the university and its management, according to the workers, really, pardon me, screwed up. The students are coming in, and the workers insisted that they reorganize the summer schedule so they would be better prepared and they would have reasonable work shifts.
Yes.
The workers came in and offered to participate in how to reorganize the workplace or the work schedule, were ignored, disrespected, thrown out, and instead they have now an emergency imposed and think they can without recourse, except from us. We are the recourse. The workers are our leaders, and we are there to support them. But this policy, believe me, will be challenged with community support. There's students that are now organizing on campus to support the housekeepers. The housekeepers are organizing in greater strength so that they can really help lead this struggle. But there's lots for us to do. Our faith organizations, our social justice organizations, they'll be actions proposed both on campus, mm-hmm. in the media. So stay tuned, and we'll, when we hear from the workers about their various negotiations, we will have, mm-hmm. more to report to the listening public.
But doesn't it just make you realize that whether it's UNC as a corporation or other corporations, that the worker input, they're the ones doing the actual hands-on stuff. And if you just have it come from top down, it does screw up more often than not, rather than have the workers, along with management, make the decisions and plan the work schedule.
By the way, that's a familiar complaint among our public workers.
Yeah.
That if they were allowed, if they were given more influence, mm-hmm. which, by the way, is part of the struggle for collective bargaining.
Yes.
Because with that power, they can also help influence their own working conditions, yeah. and improve services to the public. So
yes.
it's kind of the same theme everywhere in the country, right here in Chapel Hill, and absolutely at the university. And I just want to reference, by the way, the great work that our dear friend who passed recently, Dr. Yanni Chapman, did in his document on racism in his community.
Yes, because he has been in the forefront of getting documented and getting people realize, myself included, I'm a graduate of the university. I love the university in many ways. But how sad it is when you find out, and we won't go into that today, all the many facets, with the university.
That's an important point, because the university has a, and that's why I think the housekeeper's struggle is going to take on serious momentum, because we have a progressive faculty, and
yeah.
we have a really strong student body who, if informed, I think, have often come to the aid of both workers and other social
yes.
issues. So we're really excited, I think, about the opportunity of bringing this to public light, helping the housekeepers, and making this a more worker-friendly and student-friendly and faculty-friendly university. But the real issue is management and how they need to be reorganized.
I mean, unfortunately, the university seems to have a track record with housekeeping and in many other departments that I have some familiarity with, of putting in place managers who seem to lack managerial skills, and see it as their little fiefdom. And we won't go into that today, but it is part of an unfortunate screw up with the university of not. They're going to make somebody a manager, training them in some positive managerial skills, and
also look at the criteria they use to
hire
them. Want people that are invested in making the place important and respectful of the workers, so that they can deliver the services that the university is providing. I thought, aside from keeping track of the housekeepers, we'll keep you informed about our work with the mayor around the issues that the public workers are bringing to the fore. But I thought we'd talk a little bit, Dick, about a very important event that speaks nationally to the issue of jobs
and this is something
justice.
Positive that
yes,
we can
something
all
you can all involve yourself
participate
in.
And support.
Right.
Go tell us about it.
I was going to let Dick start. Because both of us were on a conference call, so Dick, you go for it.
Okay, Dick, your turn.
The National NAACP is taking the lead in getting a movement in Washington, D.C. 1 month before the coming national elections in November. The date is October 2nd. 2010, known as 10-2-10 for short. The NAACP in the state and locally is taking on a lot of the work of organizing this. And of course, labor is joining in wholeheartedly. And both of those were represented on the planning and organizing call that we had on Wednesday evening. The word will come down and be broadcast to you, hopefully in the mainstream media, although it may be just a little box in the corner, but you should know that the local Chapel Hill Carborough NAACP is working on getting bus transportation that will be leave early in the morning, participate in the movement event. and come back in the evening on October 2nd. So I believe that locally, Eugene Farrar of the NAACP, who's one of the vice presidents, is handling the organizing of the bus transportation. But I unfortunately don't have the information for you to get in touch with him. But you can go to the local NAACP chapter website, which is chapelhill-carborough-naacp.org, and you can find information there about the chapter and about how to get in touch with Eugene.
We can have his number later on.
Yes.
Next week. We'll keep repeating
his number. Keep listening, and we will be putting that number out several times beforehand. I do want to mention, next week, we're not sure yet. I wish we knew, but we may be on Wilp's Wake Up Call. We'll have to change its name to Wilp's Afternoon something or other. We may be on
Wilp's Drive Time with Wilp.
Yeah, drive with Wilp. Hey, that's good, Dick. We'll be on Wednesdays from 5 to 6. So we hope it'll start next week in our show. And we're very excited about it. And so stay tuned.
I just want to reemphasize how important October 2nd is.
Yes.
We have over almost a 20% unemployment in this country. They quote over 9%, but that doesn't include those who've been despondent and stopped looking for work and those who've outlived their unemployment insurance and so on. So it's horrific. I just recently heard Labor Secretary Robert Reich talk despairingly about the situation where corporations are hoarding money and not putting it back into the economy to hire. So this is a vital march. It started out with jobs. As Dick said, it will reunite the forces of progress, civil rights, human rights, labor, small business, faith-based, and student organizations.
And don't forget the peace forces.
So it started, it started hitting jobs. We need to mention that on the conference call and to our friends. It started out talking about jobs, and then, as you know, with what's been happening in Wake County and around the country on trying to resegregate our schools, so it is championing the education for all children, equal
jobs,
education for all jobs,
education.
Justice, education, and peace.
And peace.
And peace. So it's a very important place to be, and we hope it'll be, and it's before the election. So it's focusing on these issues, that this is what we're looking for in our next elected leaders, and people are now starting to get out the vote and sign, register, make sure you're registered to vote, join the rally, and come back and work like hell.
No matter how aggravated you get or disappointed you get, it is doubly essential to get out the vote. It's so important. This is a critical time, and I'm so glad that that Dick, you brought up making sure we don't forget about peace, because I get so absolutely aggravated with people who are now talking about worrying about the deficit and didn't seem to have any worry at all when there was all this war spending and let's have war. And now all of a sudden, when there's some money that needs to go for unemployment or other social needs, then there's not enough money. Not enough. Let's cut
trillions of dollars and wounded warriors coming home and those who've died. By the way, I just want to say this beautiful studio that I just discovered myself. People can come and visit our studio and join the broadcast. And a sister is here today who asked the question. We didn't say where the rally will be.
Oh, we didn't.
Washington, D.C.
That's right.
In the belly of the beast.
Yes. It'll be a massive march in Washington. Jobs, justice, and education. And I like that. 10 to 10.
And peace.
And peace.
And there will be buses. We'll give you information next week.
Yes. We've got just a few seconds now. We should wrap up. Remind you to tune in next week. Check on Wednesday at 5 o'clock, because we might be there. if not, we'll be here on Friday at 7:30 with Wilp's Wake-Up Call. Thank you all for joining us.